You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Welcome to the Earth Station MCU podcast, your home for all things related to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, including Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, The Avengers, Guardians of the Galaxy, and so much more. Visit us at our Facebook group, Earth Station MCU, at earthstationmcu.wordpress.com, or email us at earthstationmcu@gmail.com. Hello, Marvel Universe! My name is Jennifer Hartshorn, and welcome to episode 12 of Earth Station MCU. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher, and if you subscribe to us through one of those services, if you could give us a rating, we would really appreciate it. Spread the word to everybody you know, and join us on our Facebook group, Earth Station MCU. We hope to see you there. Feedback's always welcome on our Facebook group, or by emailing us at earthstationmcu@gmail.com. So we're only about a month away from Age of Ultron. We've got another 2 weeks before Daredevil. Cap 3 Civil War has started filming in Atlanta already, and things are going super fast on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And they're kind of having their own little Civil War there. So without further ado, I want to get underway and welcome back Mr. John Raben.
Thank you very much.
And how are you today, sir?
I'm doing quite well. You know, we're on the cusp of a three-day weekend, and
yeah.
I'm going to go travel a bit and hang out with some friends, so I'm going to have a good weekend, and it's going to be nice and relaxing.
Excellent, excellent. Glad to hear it. I don't get the three-day weekend, but it's all right. It's all right.
And actually, like, to update something, it's actually 8 days until Daredevil.
Oh, my bad. My bad. Wow. That's sneaking up.
Yep. April 10th.
Wow. Okay, cool.
We're going to see Charlie Cox whoop some butt.
Excellent. Excellent. I am super looking forward to it. So, terms of other fun things going on, I believe you got some Legos in the mail recently.
I did. I finally got the helicarrier set in the mail, and I put that together. It took me, honestly, about a week from almost a week from Sunday until Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm.
I was working on it because it's a big set. It's an Ultimate Collector Series, which takes you a while.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really worth it. It looks great. I love the figure selection that came with it because you get Hawkeye,
mm-hmm.
Cap, Black Widow, and you get new version of Nick Fury.
Mm-hmm.
And for the first time ever, you get Maria Hill.
Oh, awesome. Cool.
Yeah, and lots of little vehicles. I also bought the motor and the electrical capabilities so I could
cool.
get the turbines to spin.
Oh, that's awesome. That mm-hmm. is so cool. How big is it when you get it all together?
It's big. I mean, it's about 31 inches. So this thing is, it's, you know, just a few inches shy of a yard.
Yeah, that is awesome. You got a place to display it, or is it on?
I got some shelves. And I've tricked out the shelves so that the very top, of course, is the helicarrier because
right.
it's, you know, it needs the most space. And
mm-hmm.
under that, I've got the two Quinjets.
Nice.
And on the third thing, I've found a place to put Tony's Malibu mansion, and then
is that a Lego thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God!
It was from Iron Man 3.
Oh, that's awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, and it was a neat little set because it comes with a couple docking bays for his for two of his suits.
Uh-huh.
You get Tony, you get Pepper, and you
awesome.
Even get Dummy.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, you know, the robotic arm.
Right, right, right. Yeah.
And next to that, I'm going to put the Avengers Tower, which I plan to get this weekend when I get
mm-hmm.
to go back to the Lego store in Raleigh,
uh-huh.
and as well as the Hydra Castle, which I'm actually going to wait on until June.
Yeah, I need to get something together to display my stuff better. Right now, I've just got on the mantelpiece over my fireplace. I've got all of my my Girls Who Kick Ass, which
nice.
Is you know, it's got Black Widow, and it's got you know, all Vampire Willow from Buffy, and Illyria from Angel, and some of the girls from Pirates of the Caribbean, and just all kinds of cool stuff. But I do need to get something where they have a more proper display with lighting and everything at some point.
You know, at this rate, I'm going to need a display for my Funko Pops, because I've decidedly just started to collect ones of characters that I cosplay. Including I have my one for Agent Coulson. I picked
of
up a
course.
New one this week.
Uh-huh.
For my next costume. So they finally came out with the Age of Ultron Funko Pop series,
mm-hmm.
and I picked up the Vision.
He looks so adorable.
That's like a constant comment that I keep getting.
Yeah.
He's like, oh God, he's so cute.
Well, because, you know, the pictures that we're seeing are like more like a vibrant magenta color, but
yeah.
he's like pink. It's adorable.
He just comes off as pink in the photos. I assure
okay.
you he's still magenta.
Okay. Because he looks just super cute and with like
not,
like
you know, not that there's
strip.
Anything wrong with pink, mind you, but
no,
just,
no.
he's definitely not pink.
Okay. Well, that's the way that he looks in the pictures. So yeah. Yeah, there's lots of cool toys coming out. And I'll be interested to see what else
yep.
Ends up coming out. I actually just spoke with a friend of mine yesterday who was asking me about recommendations for Black Widow figures. And I didn't. He was actually more in the know than I was, because apparently they're as expected. They're going to be coming out with action figures
right.
for Age of Ultron. But there is going to be a Black Widow one. Finally,
there is I think it's Hot Toys is coming out with it. Like they come out with the really really detailed ones
mm-hmm,
that are
mm-hmm.
you know a few like several inches high.
Yeah, are you
and
talking about the ones that are like $300?
Yeah. And they're coming out with one of her, and she's got the two guns that you can see her carrying in the trailer.
So yeah, very cool. Lots of cool toy stuff coming out. They've been showing the promotions for. The things like Doritos. I was at the.
Mm-hmm.
I know Chris Evans had posted the thing of Cap on Cool Ranch Doritos, and I was looking at stuff at the Kroger today at the different what different flavors they have matched to different people. So that's pretty cool.
I had to tweet to him when he came. You know, we posted, I'm on a bag of Doritos living
right.
the dream. I'm like, you made it. You finally made it.
Yes, exactly. And, speaking of advertising and crossover, you had mentioned, something about Audi ads.
Yeah, Audi, actually launched, their tie-in website this week,
mm-hmm.
which mainly it just has a lot of character profiles and a quick kind of, hey, look at how cool our cars are in Age of Ultron,
mm-hmm.
video. But amongst the profiles, they actually released a new image of the Vision, which looks a bit more like we saw in the last trailer where we got that brief glimpse of his face.
Yeah,
so,
very cool.
You know, yeah, it was one of those things that since I'm playing that costume, I had at least a couple friends immediately tag me like, John, look at this.
Have you seen this? Yes.
Yeah.
Was that where the picture came from that I ended up sending you?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah, I guess it's a sign of the maturing of the audience and the kind of audience that the Marvel movies are pulling in. I mean, Doritos,
mm-hmm.
not really a big surprise. You can certainly see that
right.
happening, you know, breakfast cereal, whatever. But if they're talking about, like, high-end cars as their tie-in stuff,
right.
I mean, they're marketing to grown-ups, clearly. This is not just a marketing to teenagers and 20-somethings.
Right,
so.
And of course, you know, they... You know, different car companies have had their products featured for a while now. I
mm-hmm.
mean, we've seen Acura, I believe in Thor, and I think they were in the Avengers as well.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
And you know, Acura and Thor were all the Shield cars.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
But we've seen, you know, depending on who's got the licensing rights, whose cars are in the show/movie.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think it was it Ford that was on Warehouse 13 that they were always advertising?
Yeah, I think so.
Of course, I'm used to always seeing, you know, the tie-in ads for James Bond movies, but I think that's pretty cool that.
Which, you know, Aston Martin, you know, pretty much has that locked up.
Yeah, pretty much, exactly. But yeah, so that's cool. I'm looking forward to seeing what other marketing type things come out.
You know, only a month to go, so we're going to be seeing a lot more of them.
I know. I'm totally stoked. So other stuff, we had another sort of behind the scenes featurette and I was all excited and it's really not all that exciting. It's just the cast being friends and talking right. about how much they love hanging out, you know.
Which, you know, you get with any good cast. I mean, whether it's a stage production, a TV show or a film.
Right.
If you saw, today was actually Clark Gregg's birthday.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And Ian DeCasper did a little video for him.
Yep, I saw that. That's awesome.
That's the kind of bonding that happens when you got a lot of people who work together who really like each other.
Yeah, and when you consider, you know, when we're talking about Ultron, these are big stars. They're not just like, you know, guys that are hanging out on a not to belittle the S.H.I.E.L.D. people at all, but you know, these are people that have got, you know, big careers.
Right.
So seeing that is very cool. And with a lot of shows, I'm kind of skeptical about how genuine that is, because you kind of always have to make it look like, oh no, I love my coworkers on this movie. But it seems pretty genuine.
And even movies like, you know, 50 Shades of Grey or The Notebook, where they, you know, the two leads
can't
stand each other.
Other than that, we had a little bit of news. Andy Serkis, I believe it was at the, it was some opening. I don't know if it was.
It was awards.
That's right. Yeah.
I forget who now.
But some people were asking him on the red carpet about, hey, can you please go ahead and tell us who you're playing? And he admitted that, you know, after there's been so much speculation, he is playing Ulysses Klaue.
Yeah, and I love the way he said it too. He was like, you know, when people are telling you you're playing the part, you assume that it's okay to say it now.
Right. And you know, probably. I'm sure that he did get the go-ahead to say it before that, but yeah, that's definitely a tricky situation when you're supposed to be denying everything, but your picture's in it, so.
Right, and of course, you know, he said, you know, it's like, I don't know if I'm in Black Panther, which, as far as we know, is true at this point. I can't imagine that they wouldn't use him, but
right.
You know, I don't think anybody's actually even written a script yet, so
right.
he doesn't even definitively know.
Right, exactly. They mentioned a couple of other people that are listed in the credits for Age of Ultron: Julie Delpy and Linda Cardellini.
Mm-hmm.
Any clue who they might be playing?
No idea about Linda Cardellini. Of course, this could be one of those situations like in Avengers where Harry Dean Stanton shows up and it's just a cameo. You're like, you fell out of the sky, scared the crap out of some pigeons.
Oh, that's who that... Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. I mean, it could just be like a cameo like that. But some of the speculation, especially since we know that a little bit of the movie is going to take place in Asgard, is that Julie Delpy is possibly Amora the Enchantress.
Ooh, neat. That would be cool.
Yeah, which, I mean, fans would really like to see, and who knows, it could happen. I think they certainly should bring her and the Executioner into Thor Ragnarok, but we'll see what happens there.
Okay, cool. Yeah, which actually brings up something. You know, we were saying about the whole "that's not Odin" thing with Loki impersonating Odin, but so we've heard that Tom Hiddleston's going to be in it, but there hasn't been anything about Anthony Hopkins being in it. So, is this? I mean, I guess they're going to have to reveal to some people that Loki's still alive. So it would be interesting to see what they do with that.
We don't know what's really happening with it, because, I mean, for all we know, all we see is maybe a bit of Loki and Heimdall.
True.
Just enough to get us into Ragnarok.
True, right. But, yeah, it'll be, you know, there's, as Mike Gordon, you know, has joked several times, it's not like anyone's not already frothed up excited to see it, but, it's only gonna get more crazy, I guess, for the next month or so.
Yep.
And so we're recording this, the day after April Fool's. We had a few good, good April Fool's things come out. There were, a bunch of things on our mothership, network. ESO that they said they were launching ESO DC.
Faber is an evil, evil man.
He is an evil man.
I am biting the hand that feeds us. Yes.
poor Dr. Q had an aneurysm when he saw that there was going to be a DC one. And it's like, psych, there's not really going to be one. But there were some other good Marvel things out there that happened. What can you think of that we had for good Marvel things?
One I saw, and a friend of mine reposted this, and I, you know, today, and I had to go, it's April 2nd now. And,
yeah.
And it was a suggestion that the next Spider-Man movie, which, as far as we know, is being titled Spectacular Spider-Man, is going to be based on the 90s cartoon series.
That would be funny. That would be awesome. But
I'm like,
and yet,
yeah, there's like, that's one of those things that's so far out there, you just can't sit back and think that it's true at all.
Right. Although there was another Facebook group that I'm on had something that said, you know, late breaking news, and they made it look like it was a link to the Marvel website. Uh-huh. And it was saying that it was official that they had cast somebody as Spider-Man, and then you click on the link and it's like, ha ha, April Fools.
This is why some of my friends hate April Fool's
Day. Oh yeah, it annoys the crap out of me. But you know, it is what it is. It's gonna happen.
There was one other thing, and you know, it's not MCU, but it's still Marvel related.
Mm-hmm.
There was a great video done by Ryan Reynolds about the upcoming Deadpool movie.
Uh-huh.
He acts like he's being interviewed by Mario Lopez from EW or Entertainment Weekly.
Uh huh.
About the film and trying to get an R rating and how the studio wants it to be PG-13.
And that was all fake?
Yeah, yeah, no, that was fake. That was not a real interview.
That's funny because I saw that, like reprinted in a bunch of different places and so I was like, God, well maybe that's a real thing.
And there's a bit of a spoiler if you haven't watched it already, so stick your fingers in your ears if you don't want this ruined for you. But, you know, you see, Reynolds in the Deadpool costume walking behind Lopez.
Mm-hmm.
And then just taking like some large heavy object and just bashing it into him.
Nice.
He just goes, F you, Slater.
Yikes.
Just follows it up with, it's okay, Jesse. Slater can't hurt you anymore.
Aw, that's awesome. Yeah, and I will say there were so many good April Fools that there were a couple of things that came out yesterday that I was sure were April Fools. The biggest one being and I guess I can stretch this to an MCU tie in here. Of course, Benedict Cumberbatch is going to be playing Doctor Strange. Mm-hmm. And there was an article that came out yesterday about how someone had created a life-size model of him in chocolate. And I was like, that's hilarious! That's a great April Fool's.
I wouldn't put it past some...
But it's real! It actually is a real thing!
Is a real thing!
Yes! It is a real thing!
Oh my God, I was about to say, I wouldn't put it past some fangirl to do it. I don't know if we can actually... Can we use the name for his fandom, or is that like beyond the rules of the FCC?
Go ahead and do it. I don't think anyone's looking. So that the Cumberbitches.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all. If some Cumberbitch out there made full life size chocolate Cumberbatch, and you know, for reasons.
For reasons, yeah. Well, I mean, apparently.
There are ways.
Exactly. Apparently there are, this was something, you know, not just like some fangirl in her basement kind of thing. It was actually like they voted on which British film star they were going to do and everything. And so anyway, that was my, somewhere out there, there's a chocolate version of Benedict Cumberbatch. So.
Well, you know, after seeing the one April Fool's message about Simon Cowell being on the 5-pound note, I wouldn't have put it past him for it to be an April Fool's thing. And that the Cal thing was an April Fool's.
Well, that's good. That's definitely good. Well, that wraps us up for news for this week. So let's go ahead and take a short break. And when we come back, we will be talking about this week's episode of Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., One Door Closes.
Welcome to the realm of skepticality. What is skepticality? Skepticality is a podcast for those of us who view the world in a skeptical way. We do our best to find the truth behind the news, urban legends, UFOs, paranormal encounters, science, underreported social issues, and historical misconceptions.
You just don't get it.
Do you have a problem with the news? Do you like to make fun of those neighbors with tinfoil hats? Do you want to learn some new stuff? Do you want to get something you're not going to hear on your 24-hour McNews channel? Or the local radio dial?
Sure, yeah.
Right. Then tune in by visiting us at www.skepticality.com.
Spell it.
That's skepticality.com. Grab a couple of shows and stick them in your ear.
Ooh, it's waxy in there.
And by all means, don't listen to that voice in my head.
Voice? What voice?
No voice.
Skepticality. Truth. In podcasting.
All right, welcome back. We are ready to talk about this week's episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And there was so much that happened during this one. It was just absolutely action-packed, lots of stuff going on. This tells you how tired I am with everything going on in my life right now. I actually fell asleep during this episode when it was first airing.
How do you do that?
That's how
so
tired I was.
Action.
I know. And it was like right after like Sky's Skype call with Gemma, and a commercial came on, and I guess my eyes closed and I woke up and it was 11:30. But Of course I've now seen it twice more since then, and again, yeah, I don't know how I managed to fall asleep because there was just so much cool stuff going on here.
Right.
So one thing that people had speculated about, we'd mentioned the idea that the quote unquote real S.H.I.E.L.D. was going to turn out to possibly be S.W.O.R.D., which was the organization that Joss had created, but it doesn't seem like they're going that direction at all.
No, it certainly seems like they're going on a very different kind of ideological direction from what Coulson and his team came to a conclusion at the end of those events versus what, Commander Gonzalez and his team came to at the end of the fall of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you know, we had, it's a very different leadership style and whatnot. You know, you basically had Coulson grab his people and go, you know, have the whole Agents of Nothing speech and, you know, say, well, you know, we're gonna regroup and everything. Whereas he was very much, it was like he was the leader. Whereas with Gonzalez and these other S.H.I.E.L.D. people, Gonzalez was like, no, we're taking down this ship. And everybody else was like, yeah, maybe not.
Yeah, and you know, they had a little mutiny there and decided to be kind of an all for one, one for all, which, you know, kind of grates me in the sense of I think very much in terms of a chain of command.
Right.
And like, how do you run an organization like your S.H.I.E.L.D. when everybody has a say? It's like, no, you got to have somebody at the top making the decisions, which, despite the fact that he doesn't want to be a director, seems to be Gonzalez.
Right. Very much so. And you know, it's not like Coulson was like, you know, was excited to be director, but he's like, you know, Fury said you're the right person for it. So yeah, very, very different, like leadership style, very different. And of course they've gone, you know, the directions that those two teams have gone in since that, you know, the split, the fall of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, it's understandable when you think that, you know, Coulson is the guy in charge. And yes, he's the one that has alien blood and, you know, I don't think they even know the degree to which he was, you know, obsessively carving into things and stuff.
Right,
and
but then, at the same time, we, like, We haven't really seen any kind of after effects since.
No, we haven't.
Since the city was discovered, and like that seems to be it for, you know, the Kree stuff coming up.
Right, as far as we can tell, but at the same time, I mean, I totally can understand, you know, and I guess that's one of the great things about the way that they've written this, is that they haven't made it like, you know, like the other S.H.I.E.L.D. are bad guys. Obviously, they're opposing, you know, our version of S.H.I.E.L.D.,
right.
but they're very, you know, they're very adamant about, you know, like when Mockingbird and the rest of them were going after Sky,
you know,
she says, remember, this is another team member here. You know, she's a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, Icers only.
Right, and even Mac, when he's confronted by Coulson,
right,
said, no, I work for S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right, exactly. And so it's very much, it's a hard call. And I think this is a great way of setting us up for having Civil War later on, you know, on an even bigger scale, because it's not like one side is wrong. You know, when you look at it from Gonzalez's point of view, you know, as far as he knows, you know, Coulson is this guy that got brought back from the dead with very questionable technology
and he's perpetuating secrets.
Exactly.
Being picked by a guy who was, you know, Mr. Secret, and would have, you know, if Bobby had followed through with her orders, would have downed that ship with all those people on there.
Right, exactly. And and actually, come to think of it, they don't know, right? Because as far as they know, Fury is dead. And then he never passed it on officially to Coulson.
Yeah, because that's not something that Coulson really brings up when he says, Fury picked me.
Right.
He doesn't say, oh, by the way, he's actually alive.
Right.
Which is a thing that really, I think only Simmons, Fitz, and, well, Coulson and May, and of course both of the Koenigs really know.
Right.
But it seems like with all of Gonzalez's railing against Fury and Coulson for their secrets,
right,
you know, he certainly seems to be a little hypocritical there.
Well, yeah. I mean, ultimately, you know, you're a spy organization. So,
yeah,
you know
he infiltrates.
Yeah, he has Bobby infiltrating.
Bobby and Mac, both of them, and lying to Coulson the whole time, keeping secrets from him.
Sure.
Are you really any better than you're perpetuating yourself to be?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it's I think they're doing a good balance of showing that there's, you know, there's some hypocrisy on both sides, even where, you know, both of them still do have a good point.
Yeah.
Now, of course, the big football that everybody's been going after here is Fury's toolbox.
Right.
And they've said it has everything that you would need to reestablish S.H.I.E.L.D. And,
right,
you know, when I guess I hadn't, I wasn't picturing it really what it looked like until this episode, but it's a small little box that's like lit up from inside. So it's like, is that just like a jump drive? Is that just information, or is there something else in there?
It seems to be mostly information, because we've seen, Coulson pull it up as kind of a big 3D info
projector thing, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, projection.
But, you know, given all the stuff that they have going on, you know, the fact that they had the Tesseract in development at one point, you know,
right,
I'd be surprised if it's just a little pop-up thing of information. Maybe it will just end up being that. But yeah, so, and it's something that apparently you can't open normally, because Gonzalez says that he's going to send it to Weaver and Simmons.
Right.
And they're going to try and work that out. Although, interestingly, you know, I said that, and then I realized, well, Simmons is the biotech person. You know, wouldn't it make more sense to send it to Fitz? But I guess that's one of the other interesting angles here, is that we're not sure where people are going to fall in terms of their loyalty.
And I'm thinking that at least Gonzalez believes that Weaver can get to Simmons possibly easier than Fitz, or maybe Gonzalez knows about Fitz's problems and doesn't trust him as much to handle it.
Sure, you know, if you think about, you know, a Coulson running this team of people with issues, you know, clearly Fitz has had some issues, and right. You know, Bobby, if she's reported back, she would, you know, be able to say that Simmons has been, you know, very anti-inhumans lately. You know, she's been very skeptical of Sky and concerned that we need to, you know, contain that and that she's kind of not a person anymore. So again, interestingly, the second time that I went to watch it, after the time that I fell asleep, I was multitasking a little bit and I wasn't watching every second of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed some things on my final viewing of it, or my final before we recorded this. Like, I had missed the fact that Fitz and Simmons kind of have a moment there.
Yeah, they actually refer to each other by their first name, I think the first time in the entire series.
Yes, she calls him Leo instead of Fitz. And there's the point right before Weaver comes over to talk to them, where they're both like sitting down on the floor next to a desk, and they hold hands or like pat each other or something like that. It's like, oh, they're getting to be friends again.
Yep, it's my OTP, man.
Yep. Yep, excellent. So it will be neat. And there've been a bunch of times where I've looked at it and gone, I'm not sure if Bobby's not a double triple agent kind of thing, because it seems like even though she's siding with Gonzalez, it definitely seems like she sympathizes with Coulson's point of view too. So, you know, when you've got all of these, you know, you've got a spy versus spy situation,
right.
I'll be interested to see how things eventually fall out. Of course, you know, ultimately this brings up the question of what's going to happen, because we've got good characters that we like on both sides of it at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's kind of hard for me to believe that almost would sign on to be this basically good guy character and then have him like get killed or something.
Oh, you know, yeah, but so, it is a Whedon show. So it is possible.
But that's true. It is a Whedon show.
We did get Izzy back for a cameo for just a guest appearance and flashbacks,
yep.
But it took two episodes for them to kill her off.
Right. That's very true. So, you know, anyway, I'm wondering, you know, is this going to be something where they're able to make, I mean, what I'm hoping for and what would be an awesome thing is that the episode either right before or right after Age of Ultron, Fury comes back and basically says, okay, Phil's in charge, but I've got an important job for you, Gonzalez, I want you to head up S.W.O.R.D. or, you know, or whatever. I
don't think Gonzalez would be inclined to work for Fury again after all this.
Probably not, but you know, and another moment that I thought was really great was where Gonzalez is like, well, I don't know if you even know who I am. And Coulson's like, no, I know exactly who you are because I've been looking for you for 2 years.
I wanted to recruit you.
Yes, exactly.
Rebuild the organization.
Exactly. So I'll be interested to see what happens. But it seems like with the timing of this, it would only make sense for Fury, especially because, you know, he's done a guest appearance. Was it twice, right? Twice or once?
Mm-hmm.
Twice,
because we had the cut scene where he's going on about the damages to the airplane.
And then we've got the one where he rescues Fitz and Simmons.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, he's been on the show a couple of times. It seems like with Age of Ultron, that would be a great opportunity for him to come back and kind of set the record straight. But,
we'll see. I mean, he may be like, you kids play along or I'm going to turn this car right around.
I'm going to turn this helicarrier around. Yeah, exactly. So what do you think's going to happen with Sky? Because, you know, she had Gordon. And another thing along with that, I'd been hearing, you know, the fandom has kind of been referring to Gordon as the Reader, because apparently that's what he seems to map most closely to.
Right.
But it was my understanding that that in the comics, the reader was somebody who, like, if he read anything, it became true, right?
Right. That's his main power in the comics. And the teleportation is really just like a, like technology.
Right.
And they changed that a little bit for the show where his power is the teleporting.
Right.
And apparently he can see beyond, you know, kind of like the normal spectrum or whatnot.
Right, right. But it seems like, most likely, if, you know, they're certainly doing an adaptation of the, you know, the background story and the powers,
right,
because as I understood it, because he had the power, it was like other Inhumans had blinded him, right? Wasn't that what had happened?
Because he would have been too powerful.
Right, right, exactly. And at least in this episode, he talks about how that was one of the things that changed in him. That when he went through the Terrigen Mist transformation,
right,
that had happened.
And we saw the younger version of him
right,
first gets his powers, and he's blind.
Right, right, exactly. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's a tie in there, but it's not exactly the same.
Right.
But, you know, I'm wondering, you know, the people that we've seen him pick up, he's picked up Reyna, of course.
Yeah.
And then he picked up Cal. And
yeah, mostly to get Cal kind of out of the way and not causing trouble.
Exactly. But, you know, I'm wondering, is he like collecting all these people like back at his apartment or something? You know, like, are they all hanging out?
Obviously, they have a place for them.
Right.
You know, it's the same place he was brought to as a kid,
mm-hmm,
where
her mom was.
Yeah, where Sky's mother was.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, this is kind of what he does in the Inhumans comic series, is mm-hmm, that he collects other Inhumans for this Inhumans corporation that exists.
Huh.
And, of course, comes to find out that the corporation he's working for isn't exactly, you know, on
what
the up
thought?
And up. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But that's all different in the comics, and we don't know exactly how this is going to play out yet with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to think, how is this gonna loop back around? Because at this point, you know,
mm-hmm,
Sky's got her storyline that is now completely split off from everybody else's.
For the moment.
Yeah, for the moment. But I'm just wondering how it's gonna loop back around. I mean, is she gonna say, you know, hey, I want to go back to Coulson, you know, after he gets her safe, you know, or what's gonna happen with that? So.
And speaking of which, can we talk about that cabin for
a
second?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Yeah, I mean, there were some parallels made that was definitely like Banner's cabin,
yep,
and they refer to it as such. I don't think it's exactly the one from Incredible Hulk, because he wasn't really working with S.H.I.E.L.D. at that point. But I love when she takes down the panels to see the metal wall and to see his
right,
fist
exactly
in the side
yes,
of
yes, exactly. And I think I mentioned this last week, but people have speculated that that's the place where we see Cap and Tony splitting wood in the leaked scenes from Age of Ultron. But I don't think so. I mean, it doesn't seem like it lines up the same way.
And that would be a little too convenient.
Yeah, that too. Although on the other hand, if you think about it, if they wanted to go someplace that was safe, you know, if Banner knew about that, it would kind of make sense, but.
Mm-hmm. And of course Cap knows about it,
right,
too.
Right, exactly, because he said that Cap had spent some time there, so. So yeah, it would, it'll be interesting to see if they choose to tie that in or what they end up doing with that. And going back to Sky again, her powers are definitely not just earthquakes. I thought the thing with the water, you know, making the little,
right,
little like sculpture out of the water was really cool. And then.
And the shockwaves.
Holy crap! It was like the Tunguska blast where she like is knocking over trees and stuff.
Yeah, and I gotta say, you know, in that moment when Calderon takes, you know, a chunk of wood to the shoulder.
Yeah,
it serves you right for bringing a gun after Bobby said ice or.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. But Kirk Acevedo or however you say his last name, he's always sketchy. I mean, I don't think he ever plays a completely good guy.
He's just one of those guys. It's like when Ray Wise showed up in Agent Carter,
right,
like, yeah, he's not a good guy.
Yeah, most likely. So yeah, it'll be interesting if he's actually dead or if he's just like horribly wounded from that.
Yeah, and I gotta say, after that whole thing went down, and you know, Bobby's still kind of looking at, you know, in where Sky's direction,
mm-hmm,
was, And he's like, you've got a fellow agent probably bleeding to death over there. Aren't you going to go check on
him?
Yes,
yes. Although, you know, although, to be fair, you know, I'm sure she's much closer with Skye and is wondering, well, what the hell happened there? Actually, yeah. Has Bobby seen that guy Bamf out before? No, because, you know, she was there at the football field, right? When he Bamfed out Cal?
I don't think so. I think she was actually on the ship with Gonzalez.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, I think you're
that
right.
That episode, because that was Coulson, May, and Scott.
You're right. Yeah. So, yeah, because I was like, there was somebody who came in and was like kicking ass under the bleachers, but I guess that was probably May.
That was May, yeah.
But so yeah, I mean, so if she hasn't seen him do the Bamf thing before, I would certainly be distracted by that if I didn't know that was a thing. But I'm pretty sure she is going to notice that her fellow agent over there is not doing so well and look in on him momentarily. But
yeah,
you know, it's unfortunately it's one of those things where that just sort of, you know, lends more credence to Gonzalez's point of view that, you know, Skye is dangerous, you know, and even though she didn't mean to do that, you know, she certainly very badly wounded, if not killed, one of his agents. Of course, to be fair, his agent was pulling a gun on her, but...
He's getting better.
He got better. Exactly. So... There was some, I mean, the whole flashback stuff to the day that S.H.I.E.L.D. fell was, it was kind of cool. I was kind of hoping for more Easter egg-y type action with, you know, sort of like near misses with scenes from the movie or something. And it was really pretty separate, but they did throw in a couple of things like, at one point, Hartley said something. And again, it took me the second watch to catch it. And she said, I just heard from Vic, she's going to hold the hub. So she must have been talking about Victoria Hand, right?
Right.
So yeah. That's kind of cool.
In the Easter egg, I liked, even though it's more related to another famous program that Edward James Olmos was part of, when they, of course, referred to him as Commander.
Right, yes.
Like Commander Gonzalez, Commander Gonzalez, sorry.
And you know, it's his boat and all that, that he's the captain of the ship kind of thing. Yeah, I'm sure that was a little bit of a deliberate nod to BSG. So what are you thinking we're going to be seeing up in the next episode?
I think we're going to see Skye kind of gain some mastery over her new abilities. Hopefully we'll see a little bit more about this Inhumans organization.
Yep,
Now, of course, you know, we had that last scene.
Where
Lance has washed up at the, joins Coulson at the tiki bar.
Right, although I was thinking, I was like, why does this look familiar? And it looks almost like the set from where they would do the flashbacks to quote-unquote Tahiti. So there was a brief moment of me going, oh my god, is Coulson hallucinating again?
Yeah, that's what I kind of thought at first, too. Like, wait, what?
Is he actually in Tahiti?
Well, you know, it's probably the last place anybody would think to
look
for.
That's true. It is a magical place. But, so we've got Lance and Coulson, who are going to have to make some kind of a plan. And Lance has clearly picked his side now with his signing a cocktail napkin contract kind of thing. So,
which is like it. Bugged me for a second as a former law student that there's no terms on this, there's no consideration, this is not a contract.
Well, it's sort of like a blank check the way that I looked at it. He's saying I'll sign my name and you tell me what I'm doing.
I'm all in for whatever happens.
I am up for whatever. Exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah, at this point we've got the stuff that's going on with Gonzalez and his posse with the other S.H.I.E.L.D. folks like May and Fitzsimmons and everything. And then we've got Coulson and Lance, and we've got Skye and Gordon, and then whoever else is involved with that. And then there's also the storyline of what's going on with Ward and Raina too.
Yep.
So there's a lot of different threads that are going to have to get woven back together. We've got what, three episodes before Age of Ultron comes out?
Yes.
And then I think we've got another 3 or 4 episodes after, I think. Maybe 3 episodes after.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how that affects this season, because we haven't really... It doesn't feel like we've really done much.
Yeah, I mean...
Building into Age of Ultron with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I mean, to be fair, I mean, it seems like this season, at least to me, has been a lot more engaging and interesting than it mm-hmm. was the year before, which kind of felt like a Monster of the Week kind of thing for a long time.
Yeah.
And it was...
Because they were essentially, like, powerless to be able to do what they really wanted to do because of what was going to happen in Winter
Soldier.
Exactly,
exactly. So, you know, it'll be neat to see what happens as of the end of
right.
of Age of Ultron. You know, are we going to already have a split between, you know, Tony and Cap? Is that already, you know, going to be in place at that point, you know, as Tony has said in the various, you know, promos and trailers, you know, he's in charge, but I pay for everything and design everything, you know.
Yeah, so what's going to happen if Cap has to go out on
exactly. I mean, not saying that Cap couldn't, but, you know, if Tony breaks away from S.H.I.E.L.D., then, you know, that's where all of their money's coming from now, because now that they don't,
yep.
they're not federally funded, it's all been funded by Tony, so...
Tony doesn't seem to have really been doing anything with S.H.I.E.L.D.
No, but
he's been doing his saying up his own thing with the Avengers.
Right, but the implication was there was one thing where they had something with Maria Hill, where she was going to be going to work in quote-unquote HR at Stark Industries, and it sounded like...
Right, we see what that means in the Age of Ultron.
Right,
trailers.
Right. And so, I mean, I assumed that she was going to be, you know, basically funneling money to S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
So
maybe she is.
So anyway, it will, you know, depending on how things go down in the movie, you know, it's we certainly didn't anticipate going into Winter Soldier how much that was going to have ripple effects on everything else. So so yeah, we'll have to see what happens. I mean, and certainly Age of Ultron's going to have, you know, we've talked about all the ways that it ties into everything, whether it's Black Panther or you know, or Ant-Man and all the different people that are in it and whatnot.
Right.
So yeah.
Well, I finally got a hold of the second issue of the Ant-Man prequel.
Oh yeah, how's that looking?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I wasn't aware when it originally came out, and apparently they, you know, sent so few of them to my comic book store. You know, it wasn't until a couple months later when I asked, hey, what happened to this one? Like, oh, we sold out because we had so few of them. But it continues on where it left off with Hank Pym going on this mission for S.H.I.E.L.D. in East Berlin. And he basically kind of finds like a Hydra cell.
And when is this taking place?
It's, I believe, in the
okay.
60s
mm-hmm.
sometime. And he finds a Hydra cell that's using this kind of brainwashing, brain wiping technology that we've seen in The Winter Soldier, and we've seen it used in Agents of
right.
S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right, is that the one Whitehall was using, right?
So you get, yeah, especially like that one that they had on Winter Soldier in the movie, you know, so it kind of ends with, you know, Howard's not very happy with ultimately, like, with that, because Hank destroys the tech and designs and the blueprints and everything, so nobody else can ever use it. Howard's not too thrilled about that, and says, well, this is your first and last mission.
Mm-hmm.
And Hank's like, look, I told you could use the Pym particles, but only if I get to use them. So what's the next mission? So it looks like he, you know, there's going to be quite a history of him going out on missions before we get to Ant-Man this
right.
summer.
And John Slattery's playing Stark in Ant-Man,
yeah.
right? So was
yes.
was it young looking Stark or older looking Stark or what?
It's older looking
okay.
Stark. It definitely looks like John
okay,
Slattery
cool.
in the comics, and of course Haley Atwell's got her cameo
right,
in there as
right.
well.
Cool. Yeah, so so yeah, that's I love the way that they bring in lots of different media. You know, where there's you know, we've got, you know, things coming out in the comics, and then there's special things, and there's things online, and there's things in the movies, and there's things on TV. It's really a very global media kind of approach to storytelling, which is something I'm super into, is multimedia storytelling, where you get a piece of the story over here and a piece of the story over here, and then you kind of right. have to weave them all together yourself. So,
yeah.
Very, very cool.
Yes.
All right. So then, okay, so looking at this episode, on a scale of 1 to 5 shields, 1 being terrible and 5 being, oh my god, awesome, how would you rate this one?
4, definitely. I loved kind of moving forward with the confrontation between Gonzalez's mm-hmm. shield and Coulson's mm-hmm. shield. I loved the flashbacks to, you know, the Winter Soldier and when shield fell. Mm-hmm. And seeing the motivations of everyone involved and the very real disconnect in philosophies between Gonzalez and Coulson.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I'm actually going to go 4.5 on this one, because there were so many things that were just nailed mm-hmm. absolutely perfectly. This had a bunch of really good fight scenes.
Yes.
We started out the episode with Bobby coming in on the helicarrier and just, like, taking yep. out a room full of Hydra agents.
Not to mention Bobby and May.
And then the Bobby and May fight, which was, of course, awesome. And I love the fact that they ended it in a way that neither of them lost. You know, they both yep. they both came out, you know, looking good.
And, of course, Izzy and her fight
exactly.
scenes.
Exactly. Izzy had some great fight and, like, scenes.
I don't need a gun.
Exactly, with Ooh, the bam. With the knife and everything. And
so, you know, if you think about it, like, all the really good fight scenes in this episode belong to
exactly,
the women.
Absolutely.
None of the dudes
Well,
had
to
one.
Be fair, I mean, usually the best fight scene in any Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode involves May. You know, sometimes
that
sometimes
is true.
Coulson gets in a good fight, but usually it's May. So, yeah, I thought the fight scenes were outstanding. And again, I don't think there's a show on TV that matches them for stunts, because it's not just people hitting each other. It's telling a story in the way that they move and the way that they use their environment and everything. So I thought that was great. Obviously, you know, Edward James Olmos is fantastic.
Of course.
You're seeing a lot of interplay of relationships between the teams and people having conflicting loyalties. I thought, you know, one of the things a lot of people have complained about is that, you know, it's a show about superheroes, but we never see any superpowers. Well, the stuff that they did with Sky, I thought was really, really cool. Both with the water and with her blasting everybody at the end. And more so than most of the mm-hmm. episodes that we've had this season, I can't wait to see what happens next. Because there are just so many irons in the fire here that I'm dying to know what happens next. So, all right. Well, I guess that about wraps us up for this week. We will be back next week with another episode talking about the next Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode. And then after that, we will be doing a special episode on Daredevil. So thanks very much, folks, and we will see you later.
A little bird once said to me, you gotta live a little before you're happy. And if you take a lot, you'll be left with none. I had to learn a bit, live a bit, let it all sink in a bit.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at ESONetwork.com.